In Genesis chapter 39, we come back to the story of Joseph. We took a little break in 38, as you recall, and kind of took a look at Judah and the real strange happenings at that house and the problems, you remember, and it's just an ugly thing. Well, we're back now to Joseph. So even though we went a few years ahead in Judah's life, quite a few years ahead, we're going to back up now in chapter 39 and we'll read this. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down there. Remember, let's remember what we know, so kind of get a running start at this chapter. Joseph is 17 years old. His brothers sold him to the Ishmaelites into slavery. He has now just made it down to Egypt. He's 17 years old. And he is all alone at 17 in a strange land. Most of you didn't have that happen to you. I mean, maybe your families didn't, want you, but at least they kicked you out into the streets where you spoke the same language in theory. Joseph is unloved, unwanted by his brothers. He's sold into slavery. He is in a strange land. Everything around him is strange. You know he's homesick. You know he's lonely. Now he's got to learn a whole new language. I mean, this is going to be a mess. As far as he knows, now we know better, but don't, act like you don't know. As far as he knows, he may never see his father or his brothers ever again. As far as he knows, he is now in Egypt. There's no reason on the earth for his brothers or his dad or anybody of the Hebrews to come down to Egypt for anything. But what's amazing is you will see the hand of God is upon him in Egypt. God is with him in every aspect of his life. God is with Joseph in every aspect of his life, even during the time he was sold into slavery and had to make that ugly, yucky trip down to Egypt. God was with him. And here's something that is astonishing for the circumstances that Joseph will go through. The Lord will never appear to Joseph. He said, so what? Hey, he appeared to Abraham. He appeared to Isaac. He appeared to Jacob. If anybody didn't deserve to be appeared to, it would have been Jacob at least, wouldn't you think? But God never appears to Joseph. So what? What's the big deal, you say? Well, here's the big deal. God led him and was with him, even though he never saw the Lord. Did you hear that, Christian? God led him and was always with him, even though he never saw the Lord. Sound like somebody you know? Isn't that just like you and me? Except for, I know, a rare few, a couple of strangos, who think they have seen God. Of course, they think they've seen Santa. The truth is, probably, if you're semi-sane, you'll admit it, you've never seen God. He hasn't appeared to you and given you your marching orders, has he? Yet, he says, I'm with you. God is leading us. God is directing our lives. And we've never seen him. Joseph is a clear Old Testament example of Romans chapter 8, verse 28. A clear, crystal clear example of Romans chapter 8, verse 28, which says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are called according to his purpose. Joseph, if you'll just watch him, is a crystal clear living example of that scripture. So when Paul says, we know that all things work together for good, you can say, yes, we do. And I've even seen it work out in Joseph's life, because Joseph had no appearances of the Lord in his life. Yet you will watch him trust and follow. Joseph, the verse 1 says, was sold to Potiphar. Potiphar was a high-ranking military official in Pharaoh's army there in Egypt. Now, verse 2 says, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. So if you're a highlighter or an underliner, I would have that underline that, because that is astonishing as well. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. Now, his master, Potiphar, does not know who God is. He just knows that the Hebrews have a different God. Because remember, the Egyptians have millions of gods, literally millions of gods. But he notices that this young man's God, whoever his God is with him. And the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight. That's in Potiphar's sight. And he served him, and he made him overseer over his house. And all that he had, he put into his hand. The Bible says the Lord was with Joseph. Do you believe that? The Lord was with Joseph. Joseph didn't see him. How do you know the Lord's with Joseph? Joseph said, easy. My brothers hated me, threw me in a pit, thought they'd kill me, then decided to sell me into slavery. I got pushed around by the Ishmaelites, mistreated, didn't feed me well, got down here, got sold into slavery, into some military officer's house. Oh, yeah, God's with me. Oh, I've heard you. Haven't you heard yourself lately? Yeah, this is going on and that's going on. Oh, yeah, God's with me. Like, you don't really believe it, huh? You really believe God's with Joseph? If God's with Joseph, what on the earth is he doing in Egypt? In slavery? Haven't you asked yourself that lately? God, why is this going on in my life? What are you doing? God says, I'm with you. It's all right. I'm with you. No, you're not. If you were with me, I wouldn't have been sold by my brothers. My brothers would love me. If you would have said, if I would have been me, and you would have said, God prospered you, Bob. I know what I'd have said. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm a slave in somebody else's house. I earn no money. I miss my family. No one here cares a thing about me. I don't have any money. I don't have anything to call my own. I don't even own the clothes that are on my back. Oh, I'm prospered, all right. Just call me Mr. Prosper. Doesn't the Bible say God prospered Joseph? Let me read it to you again in case you wonder. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. Do you call that prosperity? Not according to TV. I've been watching it. Not according to those guys. If you don't have everything, if you're not healthy, if you don't have money, if you don't have nice clothes and big cars and diamonds and jewels and everything's perfect, you're not prospering. You tell that to Joseph, because the Bible says Joseph was a prosperous man. What do you got to show for your prosperity, Joseph? Nothing. What do you own? Nothing. What do you make per week? Nothing. I'm a slave. Oh, but I'm the top slave. That always feels better, doesn't it? What does a top slave get to do? Get in trouble for what the bottom slaves didn't do, right? And you call that prosper? No, I don't. God does. I'm American. I call prosper lots of stuff. God's not American. He obviously doesn't understand. Obviously, the people on TV don't understand either. Because the Lord prospered Joseph. He made Joseph a prosperous man. And you know that the Bible says that Potiphar recognized it. This guy, his God's with him. I mean, everything he touches turns to gold. But it's not gold for Joseph, it's gold for me. I like it. Oh, Mr. Prosperous. God prospered him. Potiphar put Joseph in charge of everything. How could Potiphar tell that God was with Joseph? By his looks? His haircut? How could Potiphar tell, since he doesn't even know God, how could Potiphar tell that the Lord God is with Joseph? It's easy. This is an easy one. Joseph was honest. He was reliable. He wasn't a weasel. He didn't whine nor complain. He served. You put him there to do this part of the floor, and he did that part of the floor, and he did it just right. Okay, this part is done. What next? Do that part of the floor. All right. Because that's what the situation God had him in. That's where Joseph served. Joseph was a slave. And God made him prosperous. As a slave? Yeah, what did he have? Nothing. But he was prosperous in the fact that he served the Lord. And his master said, this guy is good. Put him in charge of everything. Watch this. Look at verse 5. And it came to pass, from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in his house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know anything he had except the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person, means he was handsome, well favored. The Lord blessed Potiphar's house because Joseph was in it. I think there's a scriptural principle there. If you start to say God has to, I think you're wrong. I think anytime someone says God has, that is not right. God is not in a box. God does what he's going to do. But I see a principle here. If you are a Christian and you work, let's say, for a non-Christian boss, God will bless that business because you are in it, if you are being obedient to the Lord. If you will work hard with your hands or with your head or with whatever God's got you working with, God will bless and the business will be blessed because you are there. If you complain and don't like what you're doing and hate it being around all these heathen, these uncircumcised Philistines, and I'm sick and tired of it, God is not going to honor that, and their business is going to go in the trash, and they're going to say this, I ain't never hiring another Christian. They're lousy workers. How many people have you ever heard said that? Or if you're a Christian boss and you cuss a lot. I know none of you do, but I know that happens out there. You're going to get nowhere. Joseph did his job so well that Potiphar couldn't ignore the fact that God was with him. Whoever this God is, your God is obviously with you. I'll put you in charge of everything. And, you know, and we learn this. He trusted Joseph with everything he owned. The Bible says Potiphar never asked him for an accounting. Where does it say that? Right there. Potiphar, only thing he knew when he came home after a battle or after some military, you know, meetings or whatever, only thing he knew was what's for dinner. He didn't know how the fields were doing. He didn't worry about the bottom line. Why? Joseph's got it. Joseph's handling it. Potiphar never worried about how it's going anywhere. Why? Because Joseph has got it. What's Joseph getting out of the whole thing? Nothing. A little more comfort, maybe some nicer slave clothes. But none of this is his. He owns nothing. He will own nothing. He's a slave. He's a servant. Wow. He just let Joseph run things. No questions asked because Joseph was faithful. Wasn't Joseph that way with his father? Remember, Joseph was the one that his father could trust. Joseph would go out and he would come back and bring an evil report of his brothers. Dad, this is what's going on. They're ripping you off. Here's what's happening here. And then his brothers got mad at that. Remember? Joseph was faithful. You could count on him. If you gave Joseph a responsibility, that responsibility was taken care of. No complaining. We don't read ever of Joseph whining getting mad and saying, I quit. Just go ahead and beat me. Push me around. I'm not going to do it. You don't hear that from the servant. And you and I are given a job. You and me. There should be no question that that job's going to be done. Don't you think? Just like Joseph, we are servants of the Lord, our master. And when we're given a job, it could be big, it could be little, unimportant. That, you know, those things aren't important. You notice nothing lasts forever. Even the job you have now, it's not going to last forever. You'll get too old to do it or something will go on. You know, nothing lasts forever. But while you've got it, while God has placed you in that job, you ought to do that thing. Solomon says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. If your job is to put up fences, man, then you just put up fences. And you put up good, solid fences. If your job is to work at a computer, God bless you. Then you just stare all day until you can't see. People shouldn't have to check on you and me. They just shouldn't. We should be the kind of people just like Joseph, the kind of men and women that when someone says, here's your job, we do it. That's our job. One of the things I try to do with our staff is the same thing. Here's your job. Do it. I shouldn't have to check on you every hour or every other day to see, are you doing that? Are you doing that? No, you do it. That's your job. You're a Christian. Go for it. If you do it, that frees me up to do whatever I'm supposed to do. And if everybody's doing what they're going to do, things are great. If you have to check on somebody every 30 minutes, you don't have a faithful. Joseph didn't have to be checked on. Potiphar didn't even know as his wealth was growing, he didn't even know what he had. How's it going? It's going great. How do we know? Because Joseph's right there and Joseph, he's on top of it. Joseph's got it. And his Lord is with him. Verse 7. It came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me. A little shy, isn't she? A little backward. She'll come out of that. But he refused. I'm impressed. I mean, she probably had weird makeup. You know, her hair was probably like that Egyptian stuff, you know. But that's still impressive when you think about an 18-year-old guy, maybe 19. He refused and he said unto his master's wife, behold, or look, my master doesn't know what is with me in the house. He doesn't even check. And he has committed all that he has to my hand. I'm in charge of everything. There is none greater in this house than I. See, when you're top slave, you're it. Neither has he kept back anything from me but you. Because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? This wouldn't be a sin against Potiphar. It wouldn't be a sin against Potiphar's wife. It would be a sin against God. You start to see a heart here of someone who really wants to serve the Lord. What's your job? I'm a slave. Yeah, but you're at the top. Well, that's the place to be, top slave. Anything goes wrong, it's on my head, so I just got to keep making sure nothing goes wrong. But this lady says, go to bed with me, lie with me. You got a little bit of trouble now in Joseph's life, a trial, a testing. Not that he hasn't had any in the past, but here's another one. He says, how can I do this wickedness and sin against God? This would be a sin against God to do this. I like it. Joseph reveals his heart to us, which helps us to see the direction all of us ought to be headed and the hearts that all of us ought to have. He shows us who he really serves. He doesn't really serve Potiphar. Notice that. This isn't all about Potiphar. Lady, he says, this is about God. I, because your husband has placed all this under my trust and my care, he doesn't even know everything I've got because he's not worried about it. And it's all in my hands. And the only thing he's kept back from me is you, because you are his wife. And he says, I can't do this wickedness. How can I do this wickedness and sin against God? Joseph was not serving Potiphar. If you are serving your boss, you are going to fall short. You're going to complain. You're going to say you got a lousy boss. You got a lousy job. Why doesn't God get you something better? This, and I mean, you could see where Joseph's heart is. My heart is to serve the Lord. I want to go home, but I doubt I'll ever see home. But one thing I know, I belong to the Lord, and so I serve. Wherever he puts me, whatever position he gives me, then I serve. It may not be where you want to be. It may not be the position you always dreamed it was going to be, but there you are in it. And he said, this would be a sin against my God. Now, I'm going to say something that's weird. Joseph was not serving Potiphar, even though he served Potiphar. Does that make sense? He wasn't living his life for Potiphar, even though he lived his life in Potiphar's house. He was living his life for the Lord. He was serving the Lord. And he was serving right where he was. Not by choice, but by God's will. His life was being lived to please the Lord, the one who had made him. That's impressive when you think about the 10 brothers that sold him into slavery. They didn't have that heart. They didn't have that attitude. They were kind of messy. Egypt was a land that was filled with idolatry, basically. Joseph served God. Egypt was a land filled with gods, false gods, millions of them. The Egyptians, they worshipped literally millions of gods. The god of frogs, the god of flies, the god of the great river Nile, the god of the trees, the god of the clouds, the god of the weather, of course, the god of the little birds. There were the god of the reptiles. And I mean, just all sorts of gods. The god of flies. You'll see, if you go back to Exodus, you'll see some of the gods kind of made fun of in the plagues that come down. And the plague of frog and the plague of fire. You remember all that. The cattle that were killed. Remember they worshiped the calf. The cows, the golden calf and all. And notice this. Although they had gods for all occasion, Joseph served only one God. And that's how he lived his life. The circumstances weren't his choice. But the Lord was his choice. So he served God right there in Potiphar's house. And God blessed him. But he said, I can't do this wickedness. It would be a sin against God. Notice that he makes a statement. We'll just talk about marriage just for a second. Not long, but just for a second. Because I think some people misunderstand it. He makes a statement that Potiphar has put everything in my hands. There's only one thing he has withheld, and that is you, because you are his wife. Now notice the high viewpoint that Joseph placed on marriage. Much lower than we place on marriage. Much lower than our nation places on marriage. Marriage is a dying art. He says, my master put everything into my hands except you, you're his wife. Marriage was God's idea. You know that. Marriage was God's idea. And marriage is sacred in the eyes of God. And marriage is under severe attack today, inside the church as well as out. The divorce rate inside the church is as high, if not higher, as outside the church. I think the reason it's a little higher inside the church is outside the church, most people aren't even bothering to get married anymore. They just try it out, and if it doesn't work, you go from place to place. Live together here, live together, it's like buying a pair of shoes. You try it out before you try them on, before you, purchase them. That's going on in the church. Marriage is not held in such high esteem any longer. Remember when we got married? Those of you that got married, do you remember what you said? For better or worse, for richer, but remember all that? Of course, we are promise breakers, all of us. But do you remember that? Here's what you said. I take you no matter what. Did you hear that? No matter what. This is what you said. No matter what you do. Do you remember that? That's what you were saying. No matter what you do, no matter what happens to us, no matter what, no matter what or how you treat me, no matter what life has in store, no matter anything, I do. You remember that? Then you backed out and said, well, I didn't mean that. You've heard me say this before, but a good marriage requires one wedding and two funerals. That's all the marriage counseling you really need. Last couple I married, they wanted to do a lot of couples want to do this unity candle. And I came up with this great idea. I said, you know, you got to have two funerals. Let's do it at the wedding. Let's just do it at the wedding. So when you light the unity candle, take those other candles, blow them out and break them. Their mother wouldn't let them. Candles were too expensive, I think. I wanted to break them for them, but I thought, no, the death can't come from me. It's got to come from you. If you don't have one wedding and two funerals, you're already in trouble. We all know that. We're already in trouble. We're headed for failure. We're doomed. But Joseph holds marriage in high esteem. He's keeping you from me. Why? Because you are his wife. That's a very important thing. Well, look at verse 10. And it came to pass, as she spoke to Joseph day by day. This is a lonely girl we're dealing with here. Husband's in the military. Military guys work long hours when they're in town, and sometimes they could be on a battlefield for months at a time, years at a time. This woman, probably Joseph, wasn't the only victim, I'm sure. So she's got other problems besides Joseph. Came to pass as she spoke to Joseph day by day that he would not listen to her to lie by her or to be with her. Isn't that amazing? She didn't just ask him once and he said, no, that would be a sin. No, she every day when she got an opportunity, she said, lie with me. Come on, here's a good time. And it came to pass, verse 10, about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business. And there was none of the men, the other servants or slaves were out and about. Potiphar wasn't around. None of the men of the house were therein. She caught him by his garment, by his outer garment, saying, excuse me, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and he ran away. He fled and got him out. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and he was fled forth, that she called to the men of her house and spoke unto them, saying, see, he hath brought, who's he? Potiphar. He hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. This is not my fault. This is Potiphar's fault, that jerk. Notice. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. In other words, he came to rape me, and I screamed. I yelled out. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and ran and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. Boy, wait till Potiphar comes home. Commonly, soldiers would work long days, especially a captain of the guard. He was in charge of a lot, so he would probably be gone quite a bit. So, looks like this girl had time on her hands. Maybe she didn't knit. I don't know. She needed a hobby. Garden or something, I don't know. Well, this trial continued for Joseph, the Bible says, day by day. Daily. Potiphar's wife continued to bother Joseph. And Joseph, the Bible says, continued to refuse to sin against the Lord his God. So what does she do? She becomes angry about this. It's logical. Finally, he comes into the house one day and she's been bothering. This has been going on now quite a while, just an everyday thing. And, she's a mess. And no one else is around, so she grabs him like, I'm not letting you get away. Lie with me. And Joseph ran, did not say a word, just turned and ran out of the house. He ran for his life. And she was left holding his garment. He just ran out, leaving it there. No words. And you know, I think that's an outstanding example for all of us. Run away. Don't discuss it. When you start talking with a snake, Eve, you already know you're in trouble. Don't discuss it with any snake. Run away from it. That's the scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 22. Paul tells Timothy, flee also youthful lusts. That means literally run away from them. Physically run away. That's what Joseph did. He ran away. No discussion, no question. She grabbed him and he turned and he ran back outside. She's left holding the garments. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. What are we told we ought to do in cases like that? Do just like Joseph. Run as fast as you can go. Get away. Don't talk about it. Don't think about it. Don't see if anybody's really looking. Don't say, well, you know, a lot of this is going on and people just don't understand. I'm really needy and I'm lonely and I've been gone from home. Get out of there. Run. Here's what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. Flee sexual sin. That means literally turn and run away from it. Young lady comes in and says, I don't love my husband anymore. I'm in love with another guy. No, you're not. Because you said, no matter what I do, you're not in love at all. Love is an action. It is not the emotion you're feeling. You're emotionally entangled. That may be true. It's got nothing to do with what you're supposed to be doing. Run away. Flee sexual sin. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he that commits fornication sins against his own body. So Joseph, flee. And he did. 1 Timothy 6, verses 10 through 12. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things. Another encouragement to run away from something. And follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Not only once, but many times through Scripture, are you and I as Christians encouraged to run away. Literally run away from something. Get away from it and stay away from it. So Joseph ran. And what did she do? Screamed. She screamed. Like he tried to rape her. She screamed out so that anyone close to the house could hear her. When they came running in, there she is holding Joseph's garment. You know, the facts all point to one thing, don't they? That pervert Joseph tried to have his way with this poor woman. Luckily, she screamed out and he ran. He tried to rape me, she said. And so I screamed out and he ran. Here's proof. Here's his coat. Oh boy, Joseph's in trouble. And of course, this woman has some problems because look at how she slams her own husband. You can tell she doesn't care about her husband. She says, Potiphar brought in this Hebrew to shame us. This is Potiphar's fault. When a wife does not care for her husband, he can do nothing right. It doesn't matter any of the situation. He can do nothing right. And so Potiphar could do nothing right. Potiphar wasn't there. He was busy being faithful, doing his calling, whatever Pharaoh had him doing. She says, he did this to me. This guy tried to rape me, and he brought this guy in to shame me. See, when you don't love an individual, they can do nothing right. It's just bottom line. And remember, love is an action. No matter how right that person is, in your eyes, they're just a waste. They're just a loser. You've developed something that's no good. But keep the scripture in mind, Christian. This is for us. Titus 1:15. Unto the pure, all things are pure. If you look at everybody and find something wrong with them, something's wrong with you. See, to the pure, all things are pure. But to them that are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and their conscience is defiled. In plain language, if you're prone to think the worst of someone or see the worst in someone, the problem normally is not in that someone, but the problem is in you and me. Because we're not pure. Because, see, to the pure, all things are pure. Now, we live in a society that is so twisted. A couple of guys get together and want to pray, and they'll hold hands together. Instantly, the unpure say they're gay. And so a lot of men are afraid to give you a hug or afraid to, you know, get close to you because what are people going to think? Well, I'll tell you what people are going to think. To the pure, all things are pure. To other people that want to pray, they're going, oh, man, I'll wait my turn. It looks like they're praying together. To the impure, they'll be going, what are those people doing? Just kind of gives you a clue of where hearts are at. You can tell where Potiphar's wife's heart is. It's not with her husband. And certainly now not with Joseph. She's pretty angry at Joseph. She's mad. Hell hath no fury, and you know the rest. Now, wait till Potiphar comes home. Oh, man. She spoke to him when he got home, according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant, which you brought to us, came in to me to mock me. He tried to rape me today. You were gone, of course, like usual. And it came to pass, as I lifted my voice up and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into a prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. When Potiphar came home, this guy got an earful. You brought this kid in here. He tried to rape me today. Here's the proof. I grabbed this and screamed, and he took off running. And when everybody came there, you know, they didn't catch him, but I got his clothes for proof. It's your fault he's here in the first place, and he tried to rape me. And when I screamed, he ran. You know something? Joseph could really develop a bitterness toward clothes. His last coat of many colors really cost him dearly too, didn't it? And finally, that got taken away from him. And it was used to bring a false report against him, wasn't it? Now his cloak, his garment here is used to bring a false report against him. He may be thinking, that's it, man. I'm joining a nudist colony because every time you wear clothes, you're going to get in trouble. That's how some Christians think. I'm not going to go to church there. I'm not going to do this or that's it. You know, no. You know, what's that old? There's an old joke I used to tell about two guys from Ireland. They had never been to America and they had never been on a train. They came over to America because they wanted to ride across on that train, across the, you know, the transcontinental. They wanted to ride all the way. And they're riding on this train, and they were just thrilled to be in the United States. Of course, this was obviously quite a while ago. They were thrilled to be in America, and they're riding along, and they've never been on a train before, and it's just kind of bumpy, and they're just thrilled. And some kid comes through selling things. And he's selling some fruit, and he's selling gum or whatever. And they see something they've never seen. And they say to the kid, what is that? And the kid says, that's a banana. He said, we've never seen that. Are they good? He goes, yeah, they're great. So they each buy one. And Patrick, he's got his. And Sean is with him. Sean peels this thing the way the kid told him to. And just as he takes a bite, the train turns into a tunnel. Everything goes black. And he goes, Patrick, yeah, have you eaten your banana yet? No, not yet. Good, don't bite it. I've took a bite on mine and I've gone blind. You know, we have that tendency to think, oh, this happened, therefore, here's the cause of it. That's how we operate, many Christians. That's why husbands and wives don't even like each other anymore in some cases. Because this happened, and they've determined it was the banana. That's what it was. And no, it was you just went into a tunnel. This is now the second time his clothing was used to bring a false report against him. Both times, he was faithfully serving. First, faithfully serving his father. Now, faithfully serving his master. And in both cases, he ended up in bondage, even though both times he was innocent. Now, if anybody would have had a right about now to complain, it would be Joseph. I don't know what I'm doing in Egypt. This is all wrong. This is one messed up life I've been given. I got dealt a bad hand. I don't belong here. This woman, I don't even know what her problem is. I never touched her or got near her. And now, not only am I in Egypt, but I'm in the dungeon where Pharaoh puts the prisoners that are usually going to be beheaded. You get locked away in there, and many times, if you didn't get beheaded, you got forgotten, and you died in the dungeons in Egypt. And that's where God sent Joseph next. Joseph's master, I'll read verse 20 again, took him, put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. The story doesn't end. Listen to the next verse. But the Lord was with Joseph. God was with Joseph, even in prison, even in a dungeon in Egypt. How did he get in prison? He was, well, basically, let's just be honest, he should have been put to death. It was the death penalty to rape. But I don't think, although the Bible doesn't tell us here, he should have been put to death. I don't think Potiphar really believed his wife. Even though he was angry, I don't think he quite believed her. I think these kinds of things have happened before. And so he's angry, and so he throws Joseph into prison, into the dungeons. But the Lord was with Joseph. And the Bible says, and showed him mercy. Mercy? By throwing me into jail? I don't even want that mercy, God. Quit trying to help me. Don't you feel that way sometimes? Oh, this is you, Lord? You want to knock this off? I was asking you to help. And he gave him favor in the sight of the prison keeper. Well, if there's anyone you want to look good to, it's the prison keeper, right? The warden kind of guy. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand. Boy, does that sound familiar? Because the Lord was with Joseph, was with him. And that which he did, look, the Lord made it to prosper. Now old Joseph's prospering in prison. How much money is he making? None. He's making less than he was making with Potiphar, which was none. How about clothes? He got a nice wardrobe? No, he's wearing prison stuff now. Not even, and then they don't, you know, if he ever gets kicked out of prison or dies, they'll take his clothes. They're not his. He has nothing to call his own. He's got no family. Yet God is with him, and in prison he's blessed. You gotta, okay, I'm sorry, but when you go to bed tonight, lay down, stay real still, and just say this to God. Lord, in prison, Joseph was blessed. It just doesn't sound right. Martha Stewart went today. I doubt that she'd say, boy, what a blessing. Hey, nice to meet you. In prison, Joseph was blessed. Do you know what you and I would be saying after being in there about 6 hours? Things that probably couldn't be said at church. Don't tell me you wouldn't be a little bit upset for a crime you didn't commit. Now you're going to be there until the day that you die. And that could come soon if everybody just thinks you smell or doesn't like you or realizes you're a Hebrew and they don't want Hebrews around. You could be in big trouble. Yet God was with him and he prospered in prison. Did he get rich? No. Did he get famous? No. What do you get? You got to be the head prisoner. I get to be sure all the other prisoners get fed. I get to be sure all the other. And what if they mess up? Well, people come and talk to me about it. Who'd want that job? Not only does he not belong in Egypt, in prison, he doesn't belong in the country he's in. And he's got to be wondering, God, what were those strange dreams of mine all those years ago? You know, as far as outward circumstances are in Joseph's life so far, I don't care, although you know the end, let's pretend you don't. I don't care what you think. As far as the outward circumstances, it sure looks like this kid was just born with bad luck, doesn't it? Sold into slavery. A slave for a while, accused of a crime he didn't commit, thrown into the worst prisons on the earth to live there till he dies. It sure looks like he's having bad luck. Things went from bad to worse to worser in his life. How's it going in yours? Yeah, it's kind of a little embarrassing to even complain now. Well, my foot hurts. Not quite like Joseph's, okay, but hey, it's been rough for me. Had to be in Texas once. It was hot. Went to the Alamo, the fight was over. But the Lord was with Joseph in prison. God was there with him. The Lord never left Joseph, never. God was right there with him every step of the way. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. And you know what that says. Let your conversation, your lifestyle be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, the Lord has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now aren't you a little bit embarrassed that you've been complaining? When all along, if you would just by his strength be faithful, he'll prosper you right where you're at. It may not mean a lot of money. It may not mean great transportation. But you know what it means? Blessing. Knowing that the Lord is with you. No matter what you're in or no matter where you are, the Lord is with you. Joseph prospered in prison. Did he become a landowner there? No. Did he get rich? No. He got to take care of other prisoners? Oh boy. And you can see his attitude was, you know, Lord, this is what you want me to do. Thanks for the job. How do I do it? Give me the strength to just, I got to keep a smile on my face. Say, hey, it's a happy day. What's with Joseph? Quit singing in the dungeon. Man. Joseph was a faithful servant. What has God called us to be? Not correct. Committed. Hasn't he? He just says, follow me. Follow me. He says, just listen to my voice and follow me. He hasn't called us to be correct. I mean, we mess up a lot. Well, you know, I thought you said this way, Lord, and I went this way. Not a problem. Come on, follow me. He's called us to be committed. You know, Joseph doesn't know what's happening to Joseph. You do. But you've read on to the end of the story. Joseph doesn't know what's going heading on to Joseph. When you get to the end of your story, you know, if God's finishing the Bible now in heaven, if he's going to have, you know, a newer New Testament, you're going to be included in it. Your story's going to be in there. And, you know, you haven't read it all yet, but everybody else read it to the end is going, wow, look at them go. Because you've read the end of Joseph's story. No matter what the circumstances, no matter where the calling was, Joseph trusted in God. Joseph served the Lord with all his heart, even in prison. So much so that the prison keeper said, this kid's good. I mean, this man, he is, I don't know, you put, you know, the Lord's with him. His God, whoever he is with him. You're in charge, man. You feed these people. I'll just back up. And it says the prison keeper didn't even bother to check on him anymore. Just like Potiphar. How does that happen? God. So, Joseph must have been really handsome and strong. No, he was. But that is not why God blessed him. Don't you see that? God blessed him because his heart was faithful. Because you don't see him giving up and walking off. You see him right there serving. I think the lesson couldn't be any clearer. Here's the question. Are you serving the Lord? Is your heart in his hands? Are we serving the Lord? Are our hearts in his hands? Or are we complaining about everything around us? This is broken and I don't like that. And look at this. And I want to, if you really want me to serve, you would really, how come I'm not prospering? Instead, you're sold into slavery and you say, here's my assignment. I'm working for Potiphar. What do you do there? Just whatever he tells me. How long have you been there? Oh, almost 6 months. What do you do now? I kind of run things. How did that happen? God. Weren't there too much longer and got thrown in prison. What do you do in prison? Well, first just sat in the cell. But eventually, I was kind of running things in the prison. How did you do that? God. It wasn't me. It was God. How do you get into ministry? Well, you just figure a way, get somebody to notice how smart you are, and you work your way through, and you show them how good you are, and they say, we got to have you. No, God. How do you progress in your job where you work out in the secular world? You just work hard, you show them you're the best that there is, and you... No, God. You just faithfully serve the Lord. And God will bless you. And others will be blessed by it, and others will see. That's what we learn. Discouragement, which some of you have experienced. Discouragement, I believe, is one of the major weapons of the devil. Joseph could have been discouraged. Don't you think? I am sick and tired of the way my life is going. Nothing goes. I do what's right and people spit in my face. I'm not going to do what's right anymore. I'm going to become like everybody else. I'm going to get what I want for me. I don't care. This is how I feel and I'm tired. No. Discouragement would have destroyed Joseph, I think. He might have given up. Discouragement, major weapon of the devil. If he can discourage you right now, he can win battles in your life. And I think Joseph could have given up and said, bottom line, what's the use in all this? No matter how good I try to be, it turns around and comes out bad for me. I'll just be like everybody else. I'll cheat, steal, I'll weasel. I'll get what I want. I'll get my way. I'll make sure I'm happy. It doesn't matter who else is happy. I'll be happy. Disappointment is also, I believe, another major weapon that the devil will use in your life. Discouragement and disappointment. I had hoped for this. I didn't get it. I really thought it was going to be that you cheated me. You lie. I'm disappointed. And then what happened? Disappointment will lead to that discouragement. And you'll give up on your marriage. And you'll give up on your this. And you'll give up on your life. And you'll give up trying to follow God. I think disappointment is another major weapon. So those two weapons together, we could call those our weapons of mass destruction. Discouragement and disappointment. And Joseph could have gone into both. But the Bible tells us, even though we don't have an everyday routine of his life, he did not become disappointed nor discouraged. He continued to serve faithfully. And if you would have said, are you serving Potiphar? He would have said, I'm serving my Lord. Are you serving the prison keeper? I'm serving my Lord by serving all these people. I serve the Lord. God is doing something in Joseph's life. And listen closely. Joseph does not know what it is. He will know by chapter 50. But that's going to be, what, 20 years down the road. But he does not know what God's doing right now in his life. And I would like to let you know that, believe it or not, I think you don't know either. Just like I don't know. I don't think you know really what God is doing in your life. And so you have this tendency to become discouraged when you're trying to do what's right, to do what's honest, to do what's fair, and it seems to come back and bite you. And you're thinking, what on the earth is going on? I think God is doing something in your life just as he was in Joseph's life, but you don't know what it is, just like Joseph doesn't know what it is. But Joseph continued to remain faithful. Now listen closely. And he didn't have the Holy Spirit. And you do, Christian. Can you imagine living this life in the Old Testament where the Spirit would come upon you, give you a little bit of direction, and take off? That's how the Holy Spirit worked in those days. You thought it was always this way? You thought Moses was completely Spirit-filled all the time? No, Spirit didn't work that way. That wasn't until Jesus Christ paid the price on the cross, died and was buried for our sins, was buried, and on 3 days later rose again, went back to the Father, and the Holy Spirit was sent. Now, Holy Spirit takes up residence in you. We've got it much easier than Joseph. Much easier than Moses had it. Much easier than King David. When King David prayed out of fear, please don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. You don't ever have that fear because God will never take it away from you. God's doing something in your life. Joseph is being tried and being tested. I believe you and I are also being tried and being tested. And I'll end with these scriptures out of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 11 through 13. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised by it. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. The things that you're going through, that we're going through now, these are things for our growth. These are things so that Joseph will be a great ruler. He never dreamed that he would be, although yes, he did dream it. He just doesn't realize what those dreams still mean. You have no idea. You've probably never dreamed of the things God is preparing you for, not just in this life, but for all eternity. So you need to keep, we need to keep that in our perspective. God is working. He is with us wherever we go. He is with you. Everything you're going through, He's working. Let's bow our heads together.